over the weekend.
Where's that at?
It was in Myrtle Beach, and it was the Scottish Games.
Scottish Games.
Oh.
So I got to see a bunch of Scotsmen throw around a big tree.
Right. That's awesome.
It literally would pick up a big, it was a tree. I kid you not, it was a tree. They'd pick it up and throw it.
So is that like Brave? Is that Scotland? Is she Scottish?
Yeah. That's kind of the same thing.
Same deal.
Kilt.
So I think I'm going to get a kilt.
I think you should.
I am.
You've got great legs.
I have Scottish heritage, so there's no reason for me not to own a kilt.
Yeah, I agree. Every man should have a kilt.
Oh, man, here we go.
Why not?
What'd you guys do over the weekend?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
It feels like it was so far away. What'd you do, Paul?
What did I do?
You finished that desk.
I finished that desk,
That looked really good.
I've been restoring an old 1960s metal tanker desk. So after I got it in November. So it's now early March, mid-March. So it took me a while, but I finished it.
That is awesome.
It looks sweet.
It really does. I was super impressed with the top, how it looked so marbleized.
Oh, yeah, the epoxy, yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That stuff's wicked. I love using it.
Yeah. What about you, V?
I don't think I did too much. I had to babysit my mom's cat because she's out of town. So we had to run over there. And then my brother-in-law was in town. So we're actually planning a vacation.
Ooh,
so,
nice.
Which is funny because you would think with what I do, I'd be all up in it. But I kind of let everybody else decide what they want to do. It's to Disney World and Harry Potter Land because my four-year-old is in love with Harry Potter.
Now we're talking.
I love Harry Potter.
So it's going to be fun. We're trying to figure out if we're going to do stay on site so you can book with Disney and get some perks, or book with Universal and get some perks, or are we going to stay off site in like a vacation rental?
How is that going?
Like that whole process, how are you approaching that? Are you just letting other people take care of it?
Well, that's usually the way I vacation plan. I let everybody else take care of it. No. you know, when it has to do with like a whole bunch of people, because it's my brother-in-law, our family, and that's too much for me. And it's our family. I'm like, here, this is what we're doing. I booked it. This is where we're staying.
Yeah.
Like, I go into that role. But when there's another person involved and it's his brother, I feel like I have to step back. And then I'm like, hey, let's look at the budget. And you're going to get up and have to drink 14 cups of coffee before you go to the park. So staying on site to me is not really like the perk of getting up and going. Like they think in their head, they're going to get up and walk outside and
it's be
right in
there.
Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, like you
still
have to take a tram.
Yeah.
You have to have breakfast.
Yeah.
By the time the kids wake up from watching, staying up and watching fireworks the night before, it's 11.
Right.
Like what is the perk here?
It's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
That's
so
true.
So I'm just trying to be like, hey, okay. Well, I think we have to like the 23rd. So we have like 10 more days to get our deal if we're going to stay with Disney. So we're going to book soon.
So let me ask you this. So like if you book outside, like are you an Airbnb person? Or are you going to try and go with like a vacation rental company?
You're going to ask that question.
I'm going to ask that question.
No, I could never book with Airbnb.
Really?
Ever.
I know.
Never,
I'm the
ever?
Most unmillennial millennial. That is my title. No, I am scared to death of Airbnb. I've heard horror stories from my friends of booking through Airbnb and getting there and the AC being out and nobody to contact.
Right.
So to me, I want the assurance of there's somebody who is responsible other than just the owner.
Right. You want a company behind the property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think listeners could respect that.
Yeah. So our last vacation, we stayed with Eden Crest up in outside of Sevierville, which is like Pigeon Forge area. And they're a small vacation rental company. They're not even our clients. And I found it through HomeAway, Book Direct.
Nice.
Yep. Good. And when we got there, the plan was we'll get there and make hot dogs and burgers. Got there and there was no gas in the grill. They were out in like 15 minutes. I called and they were like, whoops, something went wrong. And they were out there. So, yeah.
I think that's probably the experience for most people when they do book direct.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And that's so, one of the perks, you know. I mean,
it is.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I was talking with someone the other day and it's like they were asking like why I was asking why we don't do book direct campaigns outside of like the month that book direct day is in. Mm-hmm. Like, why don't we do more book direct campaigns? Like, you don't have to do it just in this month.
Yeah, it's not just a
and
day.
I feel like people just stick to that one day or that one month.
Some
and
do.
They kind of forget about it. And some others don't. Some others really highlight that perk.
Right. Like Dean at Oregon Beach Vacations, he his call to action on the property detail page right now is book direct.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Good.
And it's funny because like from that day, I get hashtag book direct in my head. So for a long time, I was saying hashtag book direct, but like, it's not really a hashtag. Yeah. People are not going to look up that hashtag, y'all. No. But it's definitely something you should use. And back when I was with the hotels, we would always say book direct for best availability and savings.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Right. So, and it's funny too. You see all the commercials now. Hilton has one, and a lot of people are jumping on this book direct education process.
Yeah.
And it's not just that one month or one day. It's educating the consumer that hey, you're going to save a boatload of money if you book direct, or you're going to have a better experience, or you're going to have perks, or you're going to have this stuff if you book directly with the vacation rental company or directly with the hotel. So it's definitely an educational process.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone can recognize that we've got an extra voice in the recording studio.
We do.
There is.
So there is.
I thought I was always here. I'm the ghost the recording studio.
We should do introductions.
Everybody knows who this is. All right, everybody guess. Guess who it is on the podcast.
For our new listeners, I am Paul Hanick. I'm Digital Marketing Director here in Intercoastal Net Designs.
And I am David Thompson, the Director of Social Media here at IC&D.
And I'm Vanessa Humes. I'm the Director of Sales at IC&D. So I get to go out there and meet all the new clients and meet and greet with all of our current clients.
Yeah. And you are actually our probably our biggest OG, original gangster.
Yeah, besides Bob, our server admin.
Right.
I am now the old grandma. Old girl.
She's been here since the beginning.
Yeah. 10 years. 10 years in August.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah.
So she's got all that inside scoop. So today, we basically keep the format the same, but we've got an extra voice. And so we always start out with rapid fire questions. So we hit each other back and forth with some stuff that we don't know about beforehand. And then we've got a tool of the day that we want to suggest to you as well. So first off, I've got a rapid fire question for David. He usually sends one my way, but I'm going to mix it up a little
bit. You put me on the spot.
I'm putting him on the spot. So, David, tell me, what is the best time of day to post on social media?
That is a fantastic question, because most people just post when they think it's going to be good. And so, like, I've got people that will post at like 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 a.m, or they're like, I do my posts like every 3 hours. And it's like, well, why, what really supports the idea of you doing that? So really what you should be doing is looking, like, if it's Facebook, you should be getting into your Facebook insights and look at the day of the week that your audience or that you're posting for, and see the time of the day that your audience is most engaged. Each platform has this. So whether it's Instagram, whether it's Pinterest, whether it's, I mean, Pinterest is unique in and of itself because things are found all the time, but there's still times to post and when your audience is actually engaged. And Facebook is the same too. So make sure you're checking your insights and your analytics to see when your audience is jumping on and when they're actually engaging with your content. And it's going to be different for each channel, of course.
All right.
And it's going to be different for each day, too. So, like, I know in the vacation rental industry, normally you see hot times around, like, midday, so like noon to 1 o'clock Eastern time. And then normally you see a hot time around 8 to 9 o'clock p.m.
Right.
Because as people like the end of the day, they're scrolling around on Facebook, they're engaging with content, they're maybe a little bit bored.
Right, right.
So,
and yep. It's easy to do because you can schedule those posts, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you can schedule everything out. So.
And that's the cool thing about, you know, Facebook has come a long way about telling you what your audience is into and what they do and how advanced that Facebook audience insights is. I mean, if you have a Facebook business page, then you've got audience insights. So you'll be able to see when people are engaging and when the best times are and stuff like that. And, of course, always do A-B experiments and test and post some stuff on one day and post the same exact thing on another day and change up times and change up days and see what works the best for you, you know?
Yeah, another little trick just with, like, posting and stuff, that's a really good addition is do the A-B posting, but also go into your posts in your insights, and you can see exactly how much engagement each post gets, and it will show you kind of in a timeline, and it's really easy to compare, like, oh, this post performed way better than these other posts. Mm-hmm. And normally you'll find that, like, your fun sort of general content engages a lot better than your promotional content.
Right,
so.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why we always say 80-20 rule.
Yep.
80% sure fun, 20% promotional.
Mm-hmm.
You
exactly.
know what social media account just blows my mind?
Which one?
If you had to guess.
If I had to guess?
Yeah.
Is it one of our
clients?
One of our clients, yeah.
I would say Joliam Jr., their social account always blows my mind.
Really?
Yeah, because they're very engaged.
Yeah.
Very My Locals is another one that comes to my mind.
Yep.
What about the, like, complete anomaly is Myrtle Beach Resort.
Oh, yeah. Myrtle Beach Resort.
Right.
They kill it.
Yeah.
They do.
It's like every person on Facebook loves Myrtle Beach Resort.
I mean, yeah.
I mean.
All Facebook.
What's there not to love about Myrtle Beach Resort?
Just, you know, being that, like, and I'm not downplaying Myrtle Beach Resort. It is the happiest place on earth in Myrtle Beach. But they, you know, they've been around forever. I think that that's one thing that really helps that, you know, they were probably one of the original.
Yeah.
That haven't gone through, like, a big rebranding.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the hotels or condo hotels now in Myrtle Beach, you know, they've, like, completely rebranded, even if they haven't changed their name. But Myrtle Beach Resort is kind of, like, tried and true. You know, they've done their
Well, and I know their updates, audience. Yeah, their audience firsthand. And, like, their audience is very engaged with all the content. They're always commenting.
Even
and
on, like, salesy kind of content where, like, you're featuring a property or a room there. It's like shares, 54 shares and I think 320 likes. It's crazy.
Yeah. It shows that there's something to be said about treating your social media accounts as an investment.
Yeah.
Because their account has been around for such a long time that they've built this audience that is
A loyal audience
that they like. It's like that account when you're scrolling past it and you're like, I'm just going to like it just because I know that it's this account and I always like their content.
Right.
It's like that.
Yeah.
Like, they're always engaged. And it is. It's a great,
But I also think it's like a brand too, because, you know, being that most of the visitors that come that are repeat visitors to Myrtle Beach probably have stayed at Myrtle Beach Resort at one time or another and probably have just had the best experience there.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I mean. I remember, you know, when Facebook came about and Myrtle Beach Resort was one of our first social media accounts, we got them to almost 100,000 fans, like, literally overnight.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of our other clients were like, we want you to do that for us too. We're like, okay, let's give it the college try. Oh, you only got 30,000 fans. Well, I'm sorry, you're not Myrtle Beach Resort. But no, I mean, it's just today that account just blows my mind.
Yeah.
So much social interaction.
And, you know, it's funny you say that too, because back in the day when you used to get fans like that and you used to, you know, do ads and whatnot to get those fans, Facebook, their filters weren't as advanced. So you had a lot more engagement. So these people, those 100,000 fans that you got what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, mm-hmm. have still been fans and have been engaging all this time.
All that time.
So, you know, when you do that, these same tactics these days, it's a lot harder because the algorithms, like, it's harder to get those fans. You still have to pay for them. You still have to, you know, do fan-based ads and stuff like that. But it's just a different beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So I have a question for Paul now. My question for you in the SEO realm, Paul, is what is schema markup and what's the point?
Ooh, schema markup. So I get this question a lot because it's kind of a buzzword. It's been around for a while. And schema markup is one of those. Basically, let's think of it this way. It's additional code on your site that the user does not see, but Google does. Let's just call it that.
Okay.
It's code just for Google or any other metadata crawlers out there. But anyway, so schema is basically, it breaks down your content on your site and serves it up in a way that makes more sense for Google to make a decision about the content that's on your site. So let me break that down a little bit more because it is confusing. So whenever you do, you have schema, you can apply the schema and put it as a, you can have local business schema that's on your site. You can have restaurant schema, you can have ratings and reviews schema. There's a whole bunch of different little pieces of code that you can put on your site that helps Google determine what your content not only is about, but what to do with it. So what's interesting, though, is a lot of rich snippets. So it's funny because this turns into rich snippets and then it goes into voice search as well. So rich snippets are whenever you do a Google search and you see that box up at the top of your search results. So that box has, maybe it's a paragraph, maybe that box has a list in it, maybe it's maybe it's got photos or a carousel or a whole bunch of stuff. So all those are different kinds of rich snippets that get pulled from appropriately placed schema markup language that's on your website. So how voice comes in is voice actually uses, when you ask Google a question about a certain topic or whatever, it could use that rich snippet to answer the question using the voice search. So it all goes together. But basically, I mean, schema is something that we've been implementing on our sites for a while. There's different variations of schema, like I said, from review schema that shows the star ratings in search results for your particular property. There's also schema for your local business that you put in there, your hours of operation, links to your Facebook pages, your other external pages. And there's schema even for just list items, listing the top rentals or top locations in a certain destination, you know, stuff like that. All can be used with schema. But
can
basically,
I interrupt?
Go for it.
You guys are never going to invite me back. So I was on Holiday Isle Properties, and I saw that they had this excellent, they have 5 stars up in their header, and it says excellent.
Right.
And it links to Trustpilot.
Right.
Does Trustpilot link into schema?
Yeah.
Okay.
Trustpilot uses that schema markup language in order for, like, whenever you do a search on Google, mm-hmm. it'll show those star ratings because Trustpilot did their homework and put in the correct schema code on the reviews themselves.
Gotcha. Hmm.
So that's how it all goes together.
So my question for you, Paul, is how... is this something that your average person could just implement, or is this something that you would have to have a little bit of knowledge?
You gotta have a little bit of knowledge, yeah.
About the SEO.
I mean, you can definitely do some research and figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
But you know, it that initial learning curve hump is huge because the schema.org website is not very. It's not very easy to use. it's just a big database of examples and things, and some of it's outdated and stuff like that. But yeah, I definitely recommend if you want to implement schema, then you know it's something that we'll help you with.
Awesome. Well, we should move on to our tool of the day, which is Google Search Console. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about
Google Search Console.
And what that does. And
so for everybody that has been in the SEO game for any amount of time, knows that Google Search Console used to be called Google Webmaster Tools. So Google Webmaster Tools and Google Search Console are the same exact thing. So if you ever hear me talking about it and mention either one, they're the same exact thing. Google just renamed it. So
they've been doing that a lot. They change AdWords.
Change AdWords to Google Ads. Yeah. So
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, just like last time, it'll always be AdWords to me. But yeah, so what Google Search Console is really cool is it tells you your website health. There's a lot of different features in there, but basically if you can hook up your site to Google Webmaster Tools / Search Console, then it'll tell you if you have any broken links on your site, or if there's any pages that are not mobile friendly, or if you have duplicate meta titles, or the list really goes on. And it'll also tell you your average rankings for certain keywords. So as a national average. So you can see like if your ranking has improved or your click-through rate on if you changed up the wording in your title tag, but you kept the same ranking, it'll tell you if that click-through rate has increased in your organic search, people clicking on your listing more. So, you know, there's a lot of good benefits for Webmaster Tools. And honestly, if you go in there and you just start clicking around, there's not a lot to click around on, but the data that's in there is just awesome. And it's one of the main tools that we use to help out and decipher what we need to focus on for our clients.
Cool.
But anybody can actually get in there and look and install it and get it, get some information out of it.
Yep. I see it appearing in analytics now too.
Right. So but
you have to connect it,
You do have to connect it. Yep. It pushes that information over to analytics.
Yeah, that's helpful. So that, like me, I'm not a person that's going to go log into Google Webmaster, aka Search Console.
Right.
But I will log into analytics and check out a few reports just to, you know, I know at a high level which ones to take a look at. But when you're looking at Webmaster Tools, I mean Search Console, it can be overwhelming. So, you know, for those out there that may be logging in for the first time, how do you avoid freaking out when you see all of that information that sometimes can, it looks alarming and, you know.
Right.
Yeah. How do you process the mass amount of data that's in there?
Yeah. It's the same thing in analytics. The first time you log in analytics, you're like, where do I go? What do I do?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. And like I said, I mean, the Search Console has a lot less menu items than analytics. So you can spend 30 minutes and click on each one of the things in the left-hand navigation and look at everything. Mm-hmm. The main thing that I like to send people down is look at your, there's a ranking tracker in there that you can see what keywords that you're holding for or ranking for, and you can do specific queries too. Like you can get rid of your brand name if because you're always going to rank number one for your brand name, and it's always going to show you that. But you can look and see what other big keywords you're getting traffic for, and whether or not over the last 90 days you've moved up or down in those rankings or anything like that. So that's one of the main things that I always recommend. But and like I said, it's all easy to understand, but it is overwhelming once you first get in there and you're like, oh, what am I looking at? But just spend some time and if not, give us a shout and we'll be able to decipher it for you.
Yeah, get familiar, and if you have any questions, let us know.
Yeah.
So we should move on to our main topic, but I am a little bit unsure of like what is our main topic. What would you even categorize it as?
Interesting.
Like
this is a an FYI main topic. And yeah, it's something that I'm actually, Vanessa here, was found on Netflix, and I'm just going to let her take it off because it sounds pretty cool.
So I had the flu. We'll start off that way.
The story begins.
The story begins. So this was actually a few months ago, and I wasn't feeling well, and my husband hooked up the Roku from Christmas, and I started Netflixing and, didn't feel well enough to do work, but didn't feel bad enough to totally separate myself from work. So I was like, I'll watch the new program out there, Instant Hotel. which was supposed to be about, well, it is about some people in Australia. So they have some fantastic accents. And they go and they, so it's really kind of hard to explain, but it's couples and they all, each couple owns or manages a specific property. And so this group comes together and they stay in each property together. So it's not even like singularly. They get together, they stay in the property, they rate the property based on location, amenities, and just how fabulous the property is.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And then the owners rate the guests. And then at the end, whoever has the best score wins.
So these are all, wait, so these are all owners that are staying in other owners' properties.
Correct.
So they're like mix matching, like staying in each other's properties. And,
oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That could be dramatic.
Very. So like they can totally rig the scores too. So, you know, they're in there and they're saying, oh, well, this is a contest, so I'm going to take off scores. And it's, you know, nobody shares the scores. They just share the comments.
Okay.
So they start in the town of Humpty Doo.
Oh, lovely. And
yeah, but it's this like cute like bungalow where they have separate houses and then they all join around a pool, but it's in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, this starts it out where like the one lady is driving town and misses the driveway and ends up on like, and her tire gets stuck in a ditch and they have drag her out. So like, yeah, I mean, it's cool. And then, you know, they go to Bondi Beach and, then this really young couple, right? They have this like gorgeous beach house, but it's not exactly a beach house. You have to walk through the swamp to get to the beach.
Ooh.
So so it's interesting. And then they have this hotel expert that comes in and she rates it as well. Okay. So she's gonna say based on the design, the location, and the amenities and the things to do around the area.
Okay.
So what I got out of it was we don't get to like talk with the owners. We work with a vacation rental manager. So it gave me perspective on working with the owners and how they feel about their properties, because, you know, these people think that their property is the best. And then they get their feelings hurt when other property owners come in and say it's not the best. yeah. And, you know, the other thing is one of them was a 50s retro diner, basically, all through and through. They had, you know, 57 Chevy.
Oh, that's so cool.
Right. But the location was right by a winery.
So, that's a mixed demographic.
Yeah. Like, so.
Wow.
But, and then, like, there was a bedroom in the game room. Like it was, really weird. But, you know, like these, it came up, what sparked my interest was the idea of theming a vacation rental and, you know, really branding the individual vacation rental. So that started sparking.
You see that a lot on social media. I mean, you see themed stuff going viral on all sorts of platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if it's a Harry Potter theme or whatever, Lego theme or...
Right.
I mean, that's kind of stuff is what goes viral.
Right. And, you know, so there... what, you know, who is your audience is a big thing for your theme. Like... one of them had the 50 Shades of Grey room. So obviously that's not kid friendly.
Right.
But if your demographic is girlfriend's getaway or, you know, that type of guest, then that's pretty cool. But
it's just not the family vacation.
Just not the family vacation spot. So that sort of theming, and then also the aspect of having a vacation rental manager. So again, these people are trying to do it all themselves and making a lot of guesswork when they could learn a lot from a vacation rental manager.
Right, that was
the one thing that I was a little disappointed in, is that, yeah, I mean, you know, there are a lot of people out there that do it very successfully, individual owners, but you learn so much. You learn about price, you learn about what's expected of that market, you know, what's expected of the amenities, how you can get your pricing up by having certain amenities, and then the importance of a guidebook. So each one of these vacation rentals put together a guidebook for that specific unit.
A guidebook for things to do in the area?
Things to do, you know, what the backstory. And I thought, when you're managing it from a company's perspective, we lose a lot of that.
That's very true.
You know, there is this owner that has put a tremendous amount of money into a second home, whether it's themed or not themed. And there's a story behind each one of these units. And, you know, as the vacation rental industry and the hotel industry compete, I feel like that story of from that owner is so important to help differentiate us, that it's not a hotel room.
Right.
It's not an instant hotel.
That's like what we were talking about at the very beginning, is like, you know, you want that personal touch, and we forget about that. That's what people want. And it's these people's, it's their home. It's their second home, or third, sometimes fourth if they're, you know.
Right.
You know, but it's still their home. So it's got their personal touch to it. And being able to highlight that, I think, is really important. And it sets that apart from just your standard, you know, hotel industry.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yep. Definitely.
Yeah. So if you can have a guest book and you're, and that's one of the things too, is like, you know, if you manage a lot of units, and if I always say, if you can have a guest book and put that guest book in one of your rooms or units or whatever, and you are going to not ever get a bad review in that guest book, then you're doing something right.
Right. Yeah. So this guest book was more of like, here's the property, here's the special things in it, here are things to do, you know, around the area that we recommend, here are the places to eat and dine, and also had the pricing and fees in there, because, you know, basically this book was put together for the people that were participating on the show. But I thought, for a guest, that was cool. Oh, the other thing that they had was a welcome basket.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that idea.
And they were rated on the welcome basket as well. So, you know, what aspects did you bring in from the local shops? Was it just a generic sleeping mask and, you know, some bath salts? Or is it, you know, cookies from the local bakery? And, you know, just things that they can take with them as a keepsake.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Go ahead.
I was going to say, this would be a great, you know, the reason we're talking about this, the Instant Hotel is the name of it again. The reason we're talking about it is because you can get a lot of ideas from watching this show. All the property managers out there, or even owners, will be able to get some good stuff to take away that would actually can transfer to what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, just, because we don't get to go, and I'm that marketing mind, we don't get to go in and market each individual property. We market the company.
Right.
I just like really got a kick out of it.
Yeah.
I thought that was,
it's a different perspective.
Cool.
It's unique for sure.
Yeah.
To kind of see the next layer beyond what we get to deal with.
Yeah.
So
then after I was done binge watching that, cause there's only one season of that, but hopefully it'll come back. Then I started getting into Stay Here. Now, this was after the flu.
Post-flu.
But I don't think I'll admit when I watch this. They're laughing because they know. So this is one that you can do while you can watch while you're doing other activities.
Right. One of them.
So, yeah, it was in the gym. Yeah, we'll stick to the gym. That was it. But yeah, this one is with a designer, Guinevere Gorder, and my spirit animal real estate expert, Peter Lorimer, who I'm going to shout out to Tim and Sarah's podcast because they interviewed him.
All right.
Not in this latest podcast, but the one before. So you, if you guys like this and want to watch Stay Here, then after you watch Stay Here, then listen to their podcast because there's a little, there's some spoilers in there.
Right.
And I'll try not to spoil it too much either. But so Guinevere comes in, or Jen as they call her, they, she comes in and does the design aspect. So she takes a okay property and makes it awesome.
Spectacular.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, just like any designer can do. And then Peter comes in with the marketing mind and the pricing mind. And so the first one, I have to tell you, I was skeptical. And I was like, here we go. I'm going to watch this. And they're going to be like, okay, to market it, put it on Airbnb. And then there's this other website you can go to. And it's HomeAway. And then there's the other website, VRBO. And put your inventory out there and it'll book. Right? That's what I was thinking.
Right.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. I could do
someone's getting a letter.
Yeah. Like, so the first episode is a houseboat. Interestingly enough. In they're in romantic waterfront retreat with a rooftop deck in Seattle, I think.
Interesting.
It's a rainy Seattle.
Okay.
And they were in a predicament where they needed to increase the rent to help afford daycare for one of their granddaughters, I think. So this was like they really needed this, right? So they came in and did this houseboat, made it absolutely awesome. And then Peter comes in and says, to market it, you should do some pay-per-click. And I think I was cooking dinner and I like dropped a jar of spaghetti sauce all over the floor because I was not expecting that.
Right.
I was just so excited to hear that they...
How far did they go into like details of like you should do pay-per-click?
Well... Enough,
did they get too detailed, or was it
enough that it explained it in a basic way? So
okay.
If you were also
awesome.
A homeowner, you would start asking questions about pay per click.
Yeah,
right.
Like, yeah,
so you investigating
know,
it.
Yeah, that you know you can bid on a keyword phrase, and you're going to pay for that click to come to your website. Not everybody's going to buy, but you know you're only paying a set amount, maybe a dollar per click, is what he said.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
And so the other thing is they talk a lot about hashtags because these are individual properties. So a lot of them have like one of them was in New York, I think it was. And they're like right outside of where like Biggie Smalls started to make his name in rap. And so they tied that to the vacation rental. And again, they start branding these individual rentals and really putting this, this brand together, and this package. And it was just really cool to see how that
That's
evolved
awesome.
Between the marketing mind and the design. And so, yeah, they're talking about hashtags, and he asked the lady, do you have a hashtag? This one was in Paso Robles Wine Country, right? And she goes, yeah, I think I have one of those. And her husband was like, no, you don't.
No, no, you don't.
She didn't have a clue. It was so cute.
Oh,
so, like, they'd, like, help them develop a hashtag, which, to me... is kind
it's
of
dependent.
Important.
It's dependent. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, there's not that many people that will go out there and search that hashtag.
But it's a good way it would be a good way to organize your content from a social perspective.
Sure.
And if you can get people to, like, you know, create user-generated content that have stayed there and enjoyed their stay, you get a real human's perspective on a rental.
And social validation.
Yeah. And so you could say, like, maybe even if you're trying to convince someone to stay at your place, you could say, hey, if you're curious about what it really looks like, go look up this hashtag, and you could, you know, do a link to it, and it could pull up all of that user-generated content.
All right.
Yep. It's unfiltered. So, it's good, unfiltered.
Bad,
I mean, you get everything, but it could be great content, too.
For sure.
So what was the name? Okay, I'm sorry. What was the name of this show and then the last one, too?
This one's hashtag stay here. I'm pretty sure it's hashtag stay here. They were pretty obsessed with hashtags. And the earlier one, the one I watched first, was Instant Hotel.
Instant Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then one other thing about the stay here was shout out to Acme House. Mike was our celebrity client that was on the show. They had this Palm Springs time machine, they called it. And this house was literally like going and walking into 1970s Palm Springs.
Nice.
They had a couple rooms that needed updated. So that's what they went in and fixed up. But this couple really didn't want to rent this out. Like, they had put a tremendous amount of money into this property.
Imagine.
And to me, even though Palm Springs is a different clientele, I would have a hard time renting that house with as much fancy things and delicate things that they had in the house. So I think they had it for rent for some time, and I looked this past week and I couldn't find it. So either they're doing some really bad SEO or they've pulled it off the market.
Right.
But that again comes back to that whole part of Palm Springs is a great market where each one of those properties really has its own identity.
Yeah. You can do that there. Yeah.
For
yeah,
sure. Exactly. So if that piques your interest in a way to differentiate you, I think that helps bring guests back to you. Either they're going to love that house, or the millennials who want new experiences, they're going to want to check out different experiences that they can have in the same destination that they love.
Yeah.
So they can pick a different house or a different rental.
Right.
Theme.
In that. Yeah.
Yeah, in that same destination. So it's a way to differentiate yourself by having, and I think this is maybe a new role of having a, and some companies probably already have this, but somebody who goes in and meets with the owners and says, hey, you know, to be part of our rental company and what, and the brand that we're building, you need to have these things checked off your list. You can't have that old red plaid couch in the living room
because
it's going to taint our reviews. And, you know, I hear that at every single conference that we go to. How do you talk to clients, and how do you talk to owners about actually making the renovations that they need to? And so I feel like stay here, they walk that through with the owners and show them how to invest in that and what it's going to do and how they're going to increase their pricing. And so they help you walk through that sales pitch. So I definitely feel like that is something that you can get out of it, along with how do you brand your properties and the importance of it. And it's worth the time.
Worth
and
the
effort.
Time.
Cool.
I like it.
Awesome. Well, I think that's basically all.
That's
I think
all
we,
got.
Went a little bit over, but that's fine.
Yeah.
So that's some really
you
good
can cut
content.
Some of my rambling.
Thank you so much for joining us, Vanessa.
Yeah. My pleasure. Anytime, guys.
That was a good one.
You know me. I love to talk.
We'll have to do this again for sure.
Let's do it.
Just a quick mention for social media, guys. Find us on Facebook at Intercoastal Net Designs and Twitter at Intercoastal. Send us your questions. We will answer it on our podcast. Anything about SEO, social media, or vacation rental industry. And that's all we got time for today. See you next time.
Thanks, guys.